This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Futurology Show, proudly brought to us by MTN Business. I am not solo today, but I'm sitting here kind of by myself. B2 is en route. Traffic and the joys of Johannesburg, I guess. But I do have a guest, and if I get lonely up front until he gets here, I'll probably just turn his mic on a bit earlier. But we are carrying on with the Gartner Innovation Program discussion later on today as well. So as always, let's go straight into it. And it's like kind of weird because I normally look at Brett when I start talking about the apps and all those good things. And so we'll just play along and see what happens. But this week's app of the week is something that I've come across called Binge Watcher or BingeWatchApp.com. Now, the funny thing is it's actually not an app. I mean, I didn't find an app in the app store, but it's web-based, and they obviously planning to make it an app because they've called it Binge Watch App. But the reason I actually looked at this is come September, all the big American broadcasters start with their new seasons of TV series. So we'll start to see The Suits and, well, we won't get Game of Thrones yet, but all the shows that we've been waiting for, the next seasons and the next versions, will be coming. So what Binge Watch App does is you can go, it's a very simple website, you type it in, it's bingewatchapp.com, you type in the series that you're looking for, it searches, and if there's like more than one, so like if you put Batman, it'll bring up different versions. You select the one that you're looking for, it brings up the seasons that it has registered, and you can put your email address and or a calendar notification. And what it will do is that when the next season starts, it'll send you an email, or it will ping inside your calendar. So that's pretty cool, because at this time of the year, as I said, going through till like Jan or Feb next year, there's quite a lot of shows that we try and watch and try and stick keep up to date with. I've got Ntejo here today, who's going to be my guest a bit later, but I'm going to actually turn his microphone on now, because that way if I start to feel a bit lonely, he can just chirp. We'll do a proper formal introduction just now. But Ntejo, how's it going?
I'm good, thanks. And how are you doing, Brian?
Yeah, very good, thanks. You must be tired of just staring at me in an empty seat, and I'm talking as if I'm talking to myself. So I thought, let me turn it on. Guys, I am sitting up here lonely. The studio number is 0861-555-189. You think I know that by now. Or Twitter at CliffCentral.com, Facebook, WeChat. Let's carry on. So I came across a really, really, really cool app this week, and ironically it came from Australia, and it's called Resap Health, which is R-E-S-A-P-P Health. And what it does is they've taken a smartphone and they figured out that they can work out your ailments by breathing or coughing into the phone. So it's actually been aimed at people that have emphysema, TB, respiratory type ailments. So you can take your phone, you fire up the app and you cough, and it measures how you cough, or maybe the volume of air, I don't know. They obviously didn't give away the full diagnosis of how it works. But I just thought, you know, if you're given this day and age, and especially for a continent like Africa, where TB is a very big problem, you know, giving a doctor a smart device, or even patients at home probably have access to a smart device, they can now actually measure or see what's going on with your breathing situation based on how you cough into a phone. So, that was quite interesting. I'm going to save this next one for Brett if he does actually get here, because I think that's something he'd probably be quite interested in chatting about. But Singapore was quite interesting. So Singapore have now debuted the world's first self-driving taxis. It's a company called Newtonomy, which is actually quite a cool name as well. And they've actually beaten Uber to it. Uber's been talking about doing their first driverless car campaign in the next couple of weeks or next month in Pittsburgh in America. Well, Newtonomy has beaten them. And they've come out with driverless cars. So you can now, using the app, you can hail a taxi and you can go around Singapore. Now, we have got to give them credit. I've also got to say, this is the same company that gave the first job for Pokemon Go. So, you know, well done Singapore on the first driverless taxi, but Epic fail on the first job for Pokemon. Right, let's see. What else have I got to my bag of tricks? So I'm going to stay with Uber. In fact, this one's like, this is, seems to be a problem that's going on around the world at the moment. There seems to be a lot of hatred. So Uber, and there's a company called Careem, C-A-R-E-E-M, which is a United Arab Emirates startup or company that offers Uber-type services. They had 50 drivers arrested over the last week and 70 cars impounded. And there's been no answers given. Now, for anyone who knows how the policies and politics in Dubai work, you don't really get to question how, when, and what. But basically, yeah, they arrested drivers with we don't know why, and they've impounded 70 cars. And so Uber and Careem have now suspended their services. So you cannot get an Uber or Careem in UAE. What else have I got in my bag of tricks? Yeah, so Pokemon I mentioned now with Singapore. Let's go into my chronicles. So the Pokemon Chronicles in Japan have now had their first death by car. A guy was driving, playing Pokemon Chronicles. Pokemon Go. And he drove into two people. He killed one and he broke the hip of another one. So he's obviously been charged. But the question that I have to ask is, if you were actually doing this, why would you admit that you were doing it? I mean, it's, you know, unless your phone's like been thrown out the car and the cop picks it up and sees Pokemon on it. Why would you actually admit that you were playing Pokemon Go when you've just like smashed into someone? But I suppose it is what it is. I mean, the good news is, oh, is that Brett?
Hey, B1, how you doing?
Good and you. I was about to jump stories and you came on air.
I miss you guys so much, but traffic won't hold me back. I'm going to say how's it to everybody, and I'll see you in studio in about 10 minutes.
All right,
how
so
are you doing?
It's cool. I've actually saved a story to discuss with you, but it's definitely, you see, look at us, rocking and rolling, keeping mobile, and things always changing.
I enjoy listening like a listener. At least we know we've got me listening.
Were you streaming?
I was streaming, and it sounds fantastic. I heard all about binge-watching and all that stuff as well, which is really, really cool, because I want to talk about the movies for 2017.
Okay,
the future of movies is amazing.
All right, well, while you're driving, and I'm assuming you're hands-free.
I will listen.
The thing I was actually saving for you is old Margaret van Wyk. If I just take what's gone on this week in social and the lawsuit and that. So if there are any listeners out there that actually don't know who Margaret van Wyk is, time to take your head out the sand, pick up a newspaper or a social network or even look at an email or something. But this poor woman decided to get amorous and took a picture of her nether regions. Freshly prepared, I might add, and instead of sending it on WhatsApp to her husband, she put onto the mother's hockey WhatsApp group. Needless to say, there were some really good comments and shares, but someone took the cheek of taking a screenshot and sticking it on social. So this poor woman trended, and pretty much the whole of South Africa has now seen a hoo-ha. So do I get a hoo-ha? So yeah,
this
guys,
it's not a panty drive for us.
I tell you what, I don't think it's been often in South Africa's history that hockey's been more popular than rugby. But B2, drive carefully, buddy, and we'll see you in studio just now.
I'll be in studio shortly. Cheers, guys.
Ciao, ciao. Well, okay, so you can't say that we're not really an active, live, dynamic show. That was B2 en route. I finished up with Uber. But what I was saying when I put the call through, though, is that, you know, it's a worldwide trend. These guys are just getting shut down for innovation and disruption everywhere. It's a pity. It needs to change. Always talk about VR and AR. This week, I actually found a lot. There was one here that I definitely wanted to save for B2, but I know that he's streaming, so you'll hear it. There's a beer called Inners and Gun. In fact, Brett, you and I had it together at the Whiskey Live Festival last year or the year before. I can't actually remember which one it was. But it's a Scottish craft beer. I have seen it available in South Africa. And what they've done is they've put a VR experience together that actually takes you to the birthplace of beer. You can go through and see how it's made through the country. They change the taste of the beer that you're drinking. So basically they show you what they do to allow the different changes that they make. And the experience was pretty good. It's quite a booze-soaked up idea, yes, pun intended. But it's just that, you know, guys are using VR in so many different ways. It's nice to see that alcohol companies take you on a journey into the actual product as opposed to just, this is VR. This is what it does. Now, anyone who knows me knows that I am roller coaster mad. I've traveled the world looking for roller coasters. I've gone to Vegas. Business trip. And it was with a youth camp in Pennsylvania, and they took kids on a road trip for the day, and the choice was to go like to a museum or to Six Flags. I went to Six Flags. I went and rode King Dakar, which is one of the roller coasters I've always wanted to ride. But what Six Flags has done is so awesome, and I cannot wait to get back to the States. It's a proper roller coaster, so it's an actual physical roller coaster. So you move and loop and all those wonderful things, but you wear VR headsets. So instead of seeing nothing like blue skies and trying to move your head around and all those good things that you do in a roller coaster, you actually see like Star Wars and shooting and blowing things up, and they immerse you into like a whole game world. And you can even tap the side of your headset and shoot things, so you'll be able to like shoot stuff that's actually like running around there. So it's a proper physical VR roller coaster that lets you jump, you know, go feel the movement. Guess who just arrived?
Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
Better late than never.
Yeah, there we go. You missed my whole chat about Innocent Gun VR.
Actually, I heard it.
Oh, you heard it. You're streaming.
Cool.
It's very cool.
Yes.
Well, here's the best.
I prefer
of
the real, real thing, though.
No,
if you're
so
gonna
do
put
I.
It in your nice cold beer in your face.
But imagine drinking a nice cold beer and then watching the journey, how that will appreciate the notes and the taste.
Yes.
Yeah, like whiskey,
for sure.
Whiskey tastings.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the first place we had it, actually, was the Whiskey
was
Festival.
Was that the Whiskey Festival?
And we tasting beer of all things.
100%.
That would explain the headache the next day.
Unscripted, unheard, untold. So the last thing on my VR Chronicles, Brett, was Trip to Mars. This has won 19 Line Awards. So those are like the Grand Prix Awards of the advertising industry. So what they did is the company that makes the planes there, Lockheed Martin.
Oh, yeah?
So what they did is they took a school bus and they put screens all the way down the side of it. So these kids that were going on a school trip couldn't actually look out the windows. They were looking into screens, but they don't really realize this yet. And when the vehicle started moving, the screens activated, and these kids were driving on Mars.
Oh, wow.
So they put this whole school bus on planet Mars.
Augmented reality in a bus.
Full AR-VR situation. So these kids drove from A to B, but they actually saw the Mars rover. They saw the rock. They saw everything that you would see.
That's wild.
That's awesome. Yeah. Huh? That, to me, is one of the better
VR. A few years ago, like when the Gautrain launched, we proposed that for replicating the Gautrain, and that was going to be before the Gautrain was even started building, we were going to build a whole replica and do something very similar to that, but I think we just live too far ahead of our time.
And this is our problem. How many times, we've talked about it with Pokemon, with all these things. We like go to guys with
great
ideas.
Great ideas too soon.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe we must just like sleep a little bit.
Yeah.
So you heard me talking about poor Margaret. We were talking about that together. We've done the Pokemon while you weren't here, so you didn't have to vomit in your mouth.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. So here's like a listener services announcement. Who's got for all of you people that have iPhones out there, yourself included, Brett, there's been a security flaw. Now, I just want to say at this point, Apple are the first people to say, especially on macOS, that they don't get viruses and that. But equally, when something goes wrong, they're the first to admit it. They'll say, yeah, we've picked up an error, we've picked up a patch, whatever, and they patch it, and they patch it quickly. So guys, if you're using iPhone or iPad, you need to update to 9.3.5. It's not a big update. It's about 40 megs.
Already 9.3.5?
Well, it was just come out 9.3.4, and that's obviously where the fraud came in. Correct.
Okay.
So 9.3.5 is required. It's quick. It happens over the air, and it just patches up your phone. So please do it. These cars put these things out for a reason, and it's not their health. It's actually your phone's health.
It won't help you if you're Margarita. it doesn't fix stupid, unfortunately. Sorry, guys.
Shit. Okay. So now, We're an impartial show. We talk about Android as well. So Android Nougat, which is what they've now called N, which is 7. What phone do you have? You've got an Android phone, huh?
Yeah,
Yeah. Okay. Oh, your mic's off again. Sorry about that. No, I was just chatting to my guest here. Okay, so you've got an Android phone.
Yes, I do.
So Android 7 has just started rolling out. It's only come out on the Nexus devices, as always. They rolled it out on their Nexus headset handset first. So there's 250 improvements on Android. I'm not even going to get into all of them, and most of them are under the hood. But there were a few that I noticed where, I suppose by mentioning them, I might be a little bit horrible because I'm kind of like, it's a me too. But here were the ones that I saw through reading the list. So there's more emojis. In fact, there's 72 more emojis to be precise. And now they're going to basically have like skin tones and more human looking features in the blobs that they have. You can now get avo and bacon, which is so fantastic if you're a vegan. But all they're basically doing is 72 more reasons not to type. You know what I mean? You're just using emoticons. So, yeah, it's okay. That's one of them. The split screen app is finally coming. So now you can actually have two apps running. Now, Brett, how long have we had that on iOS?
Multitasking.
How long?
Oh, yeah,
okay. So I think it's like way overdue, but it is coming. Easier app switching. So this is, again, something that iPhone users have had for a long time, where you know you can now just push a button and it will bring up the other apps that are open, and you can select them. Faster replies. So when your notification comes through, you can reply from the notification. Force 3D, iOS 7, 8-ish. So basically, Google's bringing out iOS 7. That's what they're bringing out.
They're trying to compare apples and apples.
Yeah, never going to happen, but well done. So that's Nougat in. All you guys are so excited about it. Sure, I got lots of nice fun stuff that I found. This was a really good week. Yeah. Barbara Streisand. Okay. She's pissed off and tired of Siri not announcing her or pronouncing her name properly.
Streisand.
So, but this is when you know you're a celebrity and an A-level celebrity. When you can pick up the phone and phone Tim Cook himself and go, listen, please tell Siri how to pronounce my name. Correct. So now if you do it on Siri, and I know now millions of people are picking up their phones and going, Barbara Streisand.
And that song will come up.
Barbara Streisand. Oh, yeah, I remember that. So, so she's now made sure that her name is pronounced properly via Siri. So, well done, Barbara. Big up to you. And on the note of Apple, Steve Wozniak, everyone must know who Woz is, okay? He's now pleading that they don't remove the 3.5mm jack. Remember, we spoke about this last week, that the rumors are they're going to go to Lightning port. And he's just saying that, one, you're going to piss a lot of people off. And it's true. Guys that have gone and bought fancy headsets, and we did chat about this, they now have to buy another freaking adapter to make it work. Mm. You know, you've already spent thousands of rands on a headset, and then you're going to buy an adapter. I mean, that's the thing that Mac users always get nailed for, is their adapters.
There's some great parody videos about that. As much as I love Apple, there's some really funny ones out there. If you're out there, go check out the Mac parodies there. They're brilliant.
But what he's saying also makes sense, is that you can either connect through the Lightning port, if you're lucky enough to have it, or you can use Bluetooth. Bluetooth doesn't do anything for sound. No. It actually flattens it. It's not great. When you listen, when I go to gym,
I
use
listen to my 78 kilobit per second MP3 through Bluetooth. And
if anyone moves in front of you or something moves around your phone or something, you kind of lose your signal. So I agree with the Woz. We can call him the Woz. He's quite cool like that.
Yeah.
So Apple, I don't know if it's too late, because you're kind of launching in, 2 weeks' time. But we'll see. Facebook Games Arcade. Brett, you'll like this one. Okay. So they've been beta testing Facebook Games Arcade, which is basically a desktop application that lets users play games without needing to actually access Facebook via browser. So it's faster and better. But it's also, I think it's a future revenue play, because now you've got a new way of accessing games that you used to have to do through Facebook. You can also now see how platform games could re-emerge. Mm. So basically, they're putting a plug in that will let you play games. So they're moving into the game space without using Facebook. So you're not, when you get one of those invites, play backgammon and you don't have a Facebook.
You're actually going into a gaming environment.
Now you can go into gaming.
Like they did with Messenger, they're taking.
And look at the revenue opportunities that can come out of that. And well, now that's cool. If you're playing
Facebook will become what it was originally meant to be in the first place.
Well, there we go.
A social media thing.
It's only taken them 8 years or so. Yeah. So, yeah, good full circle
there. You've got to make it before you break it.
Yeah, I suppose so. What else did I have?
There, I think.
Okay, so staying with Facebook, I think this is my last of my little things. I actually reached out to Candace, and she might not have got my email or phone, because I wanted her to dial in and quickly chat about this. So Candace, if you're listening and you can still dial in and you hear us, cool, phone. Otherwise, we'll get you on a show another day. But there has been so much ranting and raving. I've had so many people contacting me asking me for my advice this week. WhatsApp has made an announcement that they're going to allow Facebook to access the data that they have. And the data being obviously your personal data, your phone number, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And everyone's going up in arms, blah, blah, blah. People, get over yourself. It's very simple. Facebook freaking owns WhatsApp. They, in theory, are entitled to anything they want. It's like your boss coming down to your office and saying, I'd like to see the file for X, Y, and Z. And you turn and say, well, actually, I can't show you that. You know, they can, they will, and they have to.
Yeah.
So my suggestion is very simple. A, get over yourself. B, disconnect.
Yeah, just if you don't like
turn
it,
off your phone. And the thing is that people, and I'm so tired of people moaning, and I do it myself. It's free. You're not paying for it. There has to be a price. Nothing in life is free. You get free Facebook. You get free WhatsApp. Mm. Therefore, that's your payment. You are giving away your data. And believe me, ask Margaret. Your data is already online. It's staying there forever. So you've already given away your phone number. You've already logged in once somewhere. If they really wanted to find you that badly, they could. And if they don't, you're not that important. So that's just like my little moan.
You've got 30 days, though. If you're a WhatsApp user now, you've got 30 days to say no. It's an opt-in, opt-out approach. But if you keep using it after 30 days, then you've kind of accepted you've...
Yeah, but
terms.
I mean, again, you know... Anyway, I just... Like, as I said, I've had people phone me like, what do I do? I got this announcement that, you know, they've got your data anyway. It's in the same freaking building. Mm. It's there. It's on the servers. So but what we're doing is saying we allow sharing it with Facebook, you know.
You will get a lot more advertising through that platform now, I'm sure, because they're going to start to monetize WhatsApp. But
it's free. If you don't like it, unsubscribe from WhatsApp. Go back to SMS, which costs you, 30 cents or whatever in SMS anyway. Exactly. So, yeah, I've moaned before as well, but I've kind of realized if I'm getting something for free, I've got to pay for it somehow.
Okay.
That's how I'm paying for it.
Yeah.
I'm letting Facebook send me some messages.
Talking about things that aren't for free.
Yes.
An early Apple computer, one of the first ones, was sold at auction this week or last week for $815,000.
Shit.
Yeah.
Now, I was talking about that a couple of weeks ago. Last year, one sold for £240,000. Okay. I wonder if it's one of the same ones. It's already gone from 240 to the pound and the dollar, but still.
This is the Apple one that was the first model of its kind in 1976, and it was in an online auction. And the people that won it won after a bid exceeding its value of $1 million was there, and then the original price estimate was then put down as $815,000 for Apple One. It's
ridiculous, huh?
It's kind of crazy.
But how many Windows machines do you think are going to get that kind of price?
None.
Yeah. They haven't lost it. If they were built that long, they would have been dead and scrapped by now anyway.
Well, we've got an iMac that's now priceless work of art in our reception area.
I saw it. Yep. It's actually very cool.
Pull the screen out and see what's inside. It's actually much nicer looking as it is there as a piece of art than throwing it away.
Well, just...
You can't do that with a PC.
Nah, you can throw it away.
Yeah.
So... Your mic has been on, but now I'm going to formally introduce you to everyone, and now we've got the whole posse here. Okay. So we have Ntego, is it Morawasi?
Morawasi, yes.
Morawasi. Okay, so there we go. Ntego is he's joining us today as part of our Gartner Aspiring Innovators program. So this is now week number three. You're the midpoint. Yeah. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Save the best for the middle.
Best for the middle. Well, we're moving to the middle soon. Are we allowed to start talking about that?
Apparently, yes.
Oh, goody.
Let's do that. So nobody gets stuck in the gap.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about that. We're going to go to an ad break, and then we're going to come back and talk about Invoke Solutions.
Yes. So our time change is going to be?
Wednesday next week from 12 to 1.
Yes. So
awesome.
12 o'clock, middle of the week, middle of the day. Wednesday, 12 o'clock.
So you get your midweek fix, and it's 12 to 1 from next week, Wednesday. So from September, we've sprung. We're springing
all
those things.
The future of futurology is Wednesday at 12.
Cool. Well, I was talking about paying the bills, so let's pay the bills, and then we come back and talk Gartner.
Boom.
When you're a CIO in a growing corporate, there's no just taking care of yourself and that's that. When you're a CIO, people see IT as a cost rather than a strategic investment. But we know you knew that. We know that between the successes and failures, the courage to continue is what counts. We also know that food is on other people's plates because of your job. The courage to grow is business. We've got the advisors, products, and solutions that enable you to do so. MTN Business, a new world of business.
All right, so we are back. So as I mentioned just before we went off, we have Ntego with us from Invoke Solutions. Correct. I got that part pronounced correctly.
Perfectly.
Awesome. Basically, for the listeners that haven't been following, Gartner every year has this Aspiring Innovations program where they go around the world. And in fact, it starts in Cape Town and then goes all the way around and ends and then starts again. So we've got it coming up 26th of September, I think it is. And they identify people that are really moving and shaking in the space, obviously tech and tech focused. Otherwise, it wouldn't be on our show. They bring these guys in. They're all going to be able to go down to present to the CIOs at this big symposium that's coming up. And today, as I said, we have Ntego with us from Invoke. And you're number three of six. So, welcome to Cliff Central.
In no particular order.
And there I was thinking, I was in the middle because on always peaks in the middle, right?
Yes.
Oh, there exactly. We go. And that's why our show is moving, you see?
See, the man talking about insights, he's going to tell us some more about it. So tell us more about some of the analytics and stuff that Invoke pull out and some of the insights that you're helping businesses gain and do amazing stuff with.
Sure. Invoke Solutions, basically, we do a lot of dashboarding, a lot of data that we pull from different sources. The specific solution that's taking us to the Gartner Symposium is a solution that we developed ourselves.
Okay.
It basically pulls data from all sorts of tables. So whether it be from SAP, whether it be from the cloud, mm-hmm. web services, an Oracle database, we pull all of that together. But not only do we put it at one place for you to see the data, we also then build, add that onto an add-on on Microsoft Word or Microsoft Excel, where you can then also then juxtapose that with commentary. So if you want to build a bot pack, you want to build an annual report, you pull your data, you then have your commentary all sitting on the same page, you click refresh, the latest data comes on. So you never really have to worry about calling people, sending emails, asking people to send you data that where you then get out of sync with what the latest information is.
Right. I don't want to give away all the tricks at once because I think there's definitely a few steps that we need to jump through. So I think let's hoop it back one or two. Where did the idea actually come from? Because, I mean, I think part of the criteria to be considered as a Gartner aspiring innovator is that there had to be a thought process. Sure. And I'm pretty sure you had to put that in. So take us through the journey of what you were doing or, you know, what brought Invoke to fruition and obviously to where you are now.
Okay. I'll try to be as brief as possible.
No, you don't have to be. We've got some time. Okay. Awesome. It's your show. It's your time, eh?
Be careful what you ask for. I've been a lecturer before, so I can talk.
Okay, good stuff.
Ooh, okay. You're laying the gauntlet, buddy.
Okay. Long story short, my business partner and I, Shane is his name, mm-hmm. very bright chap. We both worked for one of the big banks together.
Okay.
And we realized that there were solutions that other organizations that we had worked for before required, and we realized that this was going to be a consistent requirement. So we were permanently employed at the time. We agreed that we were going to do this. We've developed it for the bank. We're going to develop it for us, as a company in the future. It sounded also romantic. He went his way. I went my way. We sort of consulted as independents.
Okay.
But we sort of always kept in touch.
Yes.
Long story short, 4 years later, we decide, actually, maybe now we're mature enough. Now we're ready. The market is ready for us. Let's start this company. We then started consulting as a company. But this particular tool is something that we had in mind. So we've been working on this tool from just about day one mm-hmm. of forming our company. We had a young, bright chap, Dumisani is his name, that we employed. Shane was sitting at a client site. I'm sitting at a client site. We've got this one chap sitting, working day in, day out, just mm-hmm. on this one solution. And it's taken us about a year and a half to get the solution to where it is. And now it's ready to go out to market. We've had to test it with some of the big corporates in South Africa. We've got, we've been given notes, tips, reviews around what to improve, how to make sure that it works for specific organizations. And we feel that right now it's at a perfect time to go out there and to go into the market because we've had it tested, we've built it, we've had not only our peers but also our potential users and customers running on the solution.
That's all right. Excellent. Can I jump in there?
Yeah.
So basically you're referring to a solution, so I'm going to go into the solution now.
Sure.
Because you know that was one question I was going to ask is to date we've had a platform which is a solution, hardware and software. Then we had last week was Simon's show. He hasn't actually built an application or a software solution as such. But he used to do more on the consultancy and the framework side, correct? And then obviously acting as a traffic conduit.
Sure.
So he was explaining how all of his clients' traffic will go through their servers, they'll do what they need to do, so on and so forth. You've mentioned the word solution a few times. So you've obviously built a product.
Yes, we have.
Okay. So what is the name of the product? Or we're not allowed to talk about that.
No, we can't talk about it. We need to get the name out there as much as possible.
Right. Well, here's your 15 minutes of fame. Get it out.
Yeah. It's called Invoke Exco Reporting.
Exco, as in like the executive committee.
Committee.
Okay. So take us through what that is and what it does.
Firstly, by the word Invoke, which is where our company comes from, we're basically talking about getting stuff out there, giving birth to things. So executive reporting is something that is required at all times, but you realize that we need to come up with a new way to get executive reporting running as smoothly, as quickly as possible. And also, the last thing you want as an executive of a big corporate, as of any other type of big organization, is to be reporting on documentation or information that is outdated, that is false.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say there's actually something even worse, and that's actually reporting. I must say that is my bugbear. I go to work wearing T-shirts and jeans because I don't like doing admin. I mean, there's nothing worse than, and in previous companies, I've had to put together a management pack for Exco, you know, your quarterly, for example. You have to review your budgets. You have to review. So you sit there the night before compiling data and realize you've actually run out of time and go and then do a little bit of a tap dance. You know, like, da 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 da.
I find reporting. I love the reporting side of it. I love being able to show off the reporting side of it. But I find that the admin of big data is a necessary evil, and that's the thing that I think a lot of clients, and I think you guys have found a good niche there as well. Is there's all this data, and it's very overwhelming when you're an Exco and everybody's like, "Oh, but Joe, we're collecting that data. It's there in the spreadsheet. Didn't you see it?" And it's like, well, yeah, but what the heck am I looking at? I'm looking at row upon row, column of column. Great, you've got the data. But at that much, it's just not filtered. It's not making any sense. Interpreting this data is the important thing. And sure. I think that's where you guys have come in with quite a nice offering.
That's where you've come in. I mean, to answer the first question is, yes, I've got all this data. What do I do with it?
Mm.
How do I analyze it? Which is why the key here is not just putting the data, but putting that, juxtaposing that against an ability to then comment on it. So you get specialists, you get analysts that on the fly,
that help interpret
as the data come in, interpret it. And I mean, naturally you then pick up all the other formatting and all that kind of stuff that you need, that you typically get from a Word application or a Word processor. So that then just speeds up the whole process. And I mean, for all intents and purposes, Brett, had we been around back then, you maybe you wouldn't be on radio. I don't know whether that's a good or bad thing.
How's that, huh? Okay, so even if you had been around back then, I'm hoping I still would be on radio, because my strength in my previous careers, and even that, is I surround myself with good people that take delegation really well. and then I make them feel good. You know, it's amazing what a six-pack of beer can do at 11 o'clock at night to get the guy through and say, but there's beer coming for you. But for me, it's the extraction. And Brett, you hit it on the nail. You hit the nail on the head. It is nice to show it off. I'm in advertising. Brett's in advertising. We like to go into customers' office and do the smoke and mirrors and the fancy-ancy, and it looks good. You do this PowerPoint presentation, and there's beautiful girls and nice pictures and great colors. But the data's got to come from somewhere, because in amongst everything, you know, it still has relevance. You're now sitting with an Exco. These are people that don't care. All they're worried about is the bottom line. They're actually starting at the end and waiting for you to prove that they're right or wrong. That's kind of where they are, and that's always the feeling I get when I go up in front of a board. So you said that you've built this Exco tool to extract the data. So I just want to unpack that a little bit further.
Sure.
So the way I work, most of the stuff I do is online. So I have Dropbox or Google Drive as my repositories. Okay. I work in Word. I work in Excel. I'll obviously send emails. PowerPoint is an output. There's no data in PowerPoint. So I'm sitting there now. I've got all my Word documents that I've done, my reporting, I've pulled in PDFs and whatever I need. I've got some graphic files, Excel for my budgets, and I am quite good like that. I do build a budget out, and I've got in the nice generally accepted accounting procedures. I'm the son of an accountant, so I learned that early on in life. Does your tool now take that data and pull it in and quantify it, then qualify it and push it back out to me? Or am I expecting like miracles here and it's not that fix it all?
Just if I was to sort of walk, do a step-by-step walk.
Yeah, please.
The tool does. Typically, what you do is you have a template, and templates are always standard. And a company will say, this is how we want our executive report to look. This is how we want our board pack to look. So you put in a template, you typically know that the first chapter would be, for example, the CEO's report, and he wants highly summarized data. Second one would be HR, third one would be marketing, maybe the next one would be, operations and so forth. So that template is standard. What we then do is we've got drivers that connect to different data sources. So with the one driver, you can connect to, like I said, whether it be your SAP database, your Salesforce.com database, or you can even pull data directly off the web if you've got web services and so forth. Oracle, ODBC, everything that that there is out there, literally anything that there is out there. We pull this data. You know that you want your graph. It will always be a pie chart, but you don't want the pie chart to give you yesterday's data if you're running it today.
Yeah.
So then you drive, the driver then connects that particular object to a link on the database. As soon as there's changes on the database and you're required to report, generally this is periodic, you've got an option to either right-click and refresh just the one object, or you can refresh all your objects.
That's pretty cool, huh?
So you've got a full prepared report, published and ready to view, with the most accurate up-to-date information as possible.
To the minute, basically.
That's fantastic.
Okay, so that's the delivery output. Sure. What about the input output? So now you've got, you've just output. Mentioned the input output. Well, the input for the output.
The raw data.
In our check all about. Sure. So you mentioned multiple platforms, sure. both cloud, both SAP software.
And all the data sources in between.
The Microsoft AWS platform as well. That data obviously has to be accurate, and you need to create paths. So I'm more interested in the setup of it. I mean, I kind of think I get what it is that you do, and I love the fact that it auto updates, because that's brilliant. Because that's actually happened to me, is that I might put together a forecast. There's a great example. Let's use a forecast. So we do a forecast because for some reason CFOs love forecasting. We forecast for the year. We forecast ourselves. We even forecast it by category. In other words, X percentage in website design, X percentage in billboard, X percentage and so on until we get to the 100%. In fact, I've done a couple of budgets before where I've got to like 90-something percent and couldn't figure out where the rest went. Maybe your program will find that. So I've created all these different pieces of data. What do I need to do? Because this is my bugbear. This is why I hate CRM as an example, because CRM is only good if you put the data in. You can't expect it to do its job if you haven't given it the information it needs. So I've got all this information. I've done the spreadsheet. I've done the predictions, everything. What is involved for me to get it to make your Xcode tool actually pull it? Is it going to take me another 20 hours, or is it just linking or path files, or how's it work?
It's literally just linking. I mean, if it's an Excel, if it's sitting on an Excel spreadsheet, it's going to be path files, because that's where you're going to pick it up from. Okay. If it's a database, you literally just log in, and you can log in from our tool. You don't have to go onto the source system. You can log in from our tool. There's a plugin that logs in directly onto your source system and just identify which object, so which data set, which graph you want to then pull for that particular aspect, and that works.
And interpret it as required.
Yeah, and then the actual updating of the data itself, not so much the linkages of the data itself, that is out of the scope of the tool, because that is what happens on a day-to-day. Say maybe your ERP system would have done that for you.
But it sounds like you guys have created instant insight analytics just at water, basically. It's this: you come in, you take legacy data sets that exist within an organization, you say, right, let's clear this up and interpret it for you in a timely manner.
Sure.
That's great. And people are believing that this pot of gold is at the end of the rainbow. Yes. But how are you doing your customer education? A lot of the things that we struggle with in tech, or sort of bleeding edge innovation, is the education to our clients, saying, look, you don't need to live this life of delving through tables upon tables of information to try and maybe make sense of it all a week later. How do you guys go around? What is your sort of elevator pitch?
Okay. Firstly, I'll give you a bit of background around how we sort of get to where we are. We're a consulting firm.
Yes. Okay. So you first and foremost, you're already in there.
Yes. Over and above giving you a tool, saying, here's a tool, see what to do with it. We'd go in and say, this is what you need to get to. As an organization, between Shane and myself, we've done about 30 years plus of consulting. Okay. And that excludes all the people that work for Invoke Solutions. So we go in, we sort of understand preemptively what is it that
and an you insert your bits where they need.
Would need. Then we plug in what we have. But then what we also do is, as our line says, I mean, in 30 seconds, if you say to somebody, we're going to give you a solution that's going to give you insights that are going to make your company run
mm-hmm.
profitably and efficiently.
Yes.
Automatically, you've got their attention.
Yeah.
All you have to do now, that's where you then go to the second side now of the business. You have to now have the product that proves that what you've said is correct.
Yeah.
And now that's obviously what it is that you guys have built.
Yes.
So besides, and I think that's obviously now answers my initial question as to what the qualification was to be included as one of the aspiring innovators, is that you're not just consulting, because let's be honest, there are a lot of consultants out there. I mean, all you have to do is go and speak to someone, and now you're a consultant. And sure. I'm not belittling what you do. I'm being honest. I mean, I've had guys come to me and say, they're whatever, tech engineers. I mean, all they've done is actually build one little app, and now they're tech engineers, and they, you know, they can go out and consult. And I've also been involved with consultants that have got it very, very wrong. They've come in, they've done BI, business intelligence.
Sure.
They've come back with all kinds of reports. And I say they've come back, I work with a lot of corporates as clients on their marketing side. So that the intelligence is shared with me for my opinion as to, well, according to this, this is where we should advertise. And it hasn't worked. So you've got to kind of blame the input. So the consulting side is great. That's your stage point. What happens with regards to hardware integration? So if you've built, if the what I think I'm trying to get to is a solution that you've got, your product, the Xcode Sure. product, is it a web-based product? Is it something that needs to be installed on a machine? Is it a per-user product? How does that work? Because we have Macs, we have PCs, we've got all kinds of weird and wonderful. Some companies are small, some companies are big, servers. What does your installation look like? What's involved for the company to install?
Okay. We've got two stages. The first stage that we've gone through is a phase where we then this gets installed on a on an individual PC and one pays license fees for it. We are now going into the second generation of this particular tool. We're now putting it on the cloud. We're looking at putting it, for example, on the Microsoft marketplace, on the SAP marketplace, as well as on the IBM marketplace, because we're already at a point where we've got partnerships with some of these organizations, because we're selling some of their tools. They're allowing us now to deploy this thing. But first, we had to get it on a standalone machine, make sure that it works on a particular standalone machine. It also makes it easier for us to then source licensing fees if it's sitting on a standalone machine.
So this has basically been what the journey is that you've been referring to. So that was part of your testing. So you started as a solo machine. So now you're saying it's more software as a solution. So now it's cloud-based. Now you mentioned Microsoft and Microsoft Server and all these wonderful things. I'm being polite, hey, Brett. Did you see that? Wonderful, I said. What about Apple? You know, so let's take, I know you're probably looking more corporate and bigger companies than maybe the small, but you get big agencies, and big agencies run on Apple.
Sure.
Being cloud-based, does that now allow you to still speak to those machines or no?
Being cloud-enabled allows us to speak to just about any machine. Remember that for as long as you're on the web, then you start becoming hardware agnostic. Because for as long as you can use Microsoft Word, you can use MS Excel, that add-in just goes onto that platform. So you don't. This does not sit on the lower level operating system, what you call layers. It sits on top of Microsoft Word.
That's actually interesting. In fact, can we digress here for a sec? That we ever do. So I think you were here when we played with the Google
yes.
Chromebook.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's an exciting thing. And I'm seeing you nodding your head. You know, these machines have no hard drives. They've got like, I think, 8 gigs or something really stupid, or 16 gigs. But it's always on. It's connected. That won't really work. And I'm coming back full circle. See what I'm doing here? Because South Africa's internet connectivity is a problem. And that's what I was about to get to now. So here I am sitting at 11 o'clock at night. Okay. I have my board meeting at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. And now I say, well, I don't worry. I've got the Expo generating tools sitting there in the cloud, and I can't connect. I'm not online. Your product now, obviously, you need internet connectivity for this to work. Or no, do you have an offline version?
Like I said, we've got two aspects of it.
Okay.
The first one works offline, so that would have been installed on your machine.
Mm.
So from the
so you will keep that, though?
You will keep it.
So that's your organizational server.
No, what I mean, I'm saying you're not getting rid of that product. This wasn't part of the development, that I have got an offline mode and I've got the cloud mode. That's what I was trying to ask.
Mm. Okay, no. Yeah, we'll definitely keep the offline mode.
Okay, cool. Because
I mean, if I may digress too, we find there's a hardware. I mean, there's a solution we implemented for one of the smaller companies that supports a mine out in Limpopo. Solution works perfectly. As soon as we go offsite, service costs come start coming in. What is the problem? The problem is internet connectivity. Yep. But to them, they say your solution does not work.
Yeah. Yes.
So we've had to go back.
Your data is only as good as your access to that data.
So that lesson, we've learned the hard way.
Yeah, no, it's... you talk about being consulting, and obviously you're innovating, but innovating your product doesn't just stop at your business.
Sure.
Now you're going to go and meet a whole bunch of new clients who've got their own unique problems to their type of data. You must find that you're not aspiring innovators, you're actual innovators every single day, because everybody's got a unique problem that you have to try and help them fix. The question is, how often do you find yourself in a situation where you've consulted, but now you need to start actually changing workflow process within the business to help them innovate further?
I mean, that happens all the time. Fortunately, my background is actually in process management.
Okay, cool.
And process systems. So that's something that
I've also picked up. Making sense of the big picture.
Yes. And also, when I did my postgraduate studies, my master's degree actually analyzed innovation. And one of the things that I found is we overuse innovation. We don't always have to change technology.
Yes.
Sometimes we need to stop, adopt the technology, make sure that we use it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Only later on should you then move on to the next thing. And sometimes it's just the process that has to change and not necessarily the technology.
Yeah.
So those are things that I'm grateful. Mm. I didn't know then that was going to be helpful, but I think it's a lot.
That's it. At the time, the teething pain is somewhat crazy at the moment. But looking back, you always, oh, wow, we learned something there. It's very cool. It's nice to know that there are guys on similar paths to what we come across every day as well. Sure. And it's amazing to see how you guys are actually taking the most of these opportunities and going forward. You've had some, I'm on your website at the moment, you guys have done some really great work with some great clients. What are some memorable things that you guys have worked on to date, if we can ask?
I was going to say, no holes barred, we can even talk about those late night ones as well.
Well, look, people are going to go check out Invoke Solutions. We're talking about Invoke Solutions. We've got the MD CEO here. So tell us some about your success stories, because I think they're really cool when you put them into something we can relate to.
Sure. I mean the one that jumps straight to mind is I was at Eskom.
That was brave.
Okay, you were brave to admit that.
I was.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, one would literally have sleepless nights. I mean, I live in Pretoria. We're at the Eskom College. My sister lives down the road from there. I would literally sometimes be at work all night, and just go out to go get refreshed.
Yes.
And Pretoria would seem to be too far, and I'd have to go to our house and just refresh and get back at the office, just so I don't rock up with the same clothes that I had yesterday. I mean,
just because of the critical nature.
I'm laughing, but a lot of people can't actually. That was last year. We were living like that.
I mean, it can get ridiculous.
And
I mean, again, I started off. I said that I was an academic, particularly a lecturer in my past life. And the story about how the dog ate my homework.
Real story.
It was a real story.
That happens even in the corporate world.
I mean,
you literally have a user acceptance testing, or you've got a demo with a client and your computer crashes.
Yes.
Or something just does not work.
No connectivity.
And you cannot explain
to
the client. The client cannot distinguish that connectivity is not your issue. You actually work with the data.
Yes.
The client says your solution doesn't work.
Yes.
Are you sure you were ready?
Yeah, I feel your pain, man.
We're all sitting and nodding, and that's why we're asking these questions, because I'm tired of people blaming the software vendor. And you just said, as soon as you leave, you get a service call. You know, when I'm there on site, everything works. I leave, it goes. And it's normally the fact, it's not things that are actually your fault, but you're the consultant. You're the guy that came in and did it.
The demo demons kick in.
Yeah, you know. I mean, let's be honest, and I'm sure you've had the same thing. You've done a live demo and it doesn't work.
Yes.
But 9 times out of 10, we can put that down to connectivity. We can put that down to the fact that you're trying to use a solution. In fact, I'm going to bury them now. I was at Google Think Africa a couple of years ago. They flew a guy out of from Mountain View. We did it at the Didata campus. I mean, if there's going to be any connectivity in South Africa, you'd expect it to be at Didata's head office. And the guys, that was when they, it's probably about 3 years ago, they were introducing Google for Business.
Sure.
And they were trying to show South Africans the cloud and how awesome Google for Business, which it is. Now, 3 years ago, we didn't have the connectivity. The guy's doing a live presentation. He's doing a hangout with the guys back in Mountain View. That was already a little bit sketchy, boing, boing.
Sure.
And next minute he clicks on a file, because now they're showing you how you can collaborate, you know?
Yeah.
And this thing's just buffering and it's not opening.
Mm.
And like, this is a room full of tech people and tech reporters, you know? And the guy's like, well, and he's talking on hand. He's like, well, I can't really see it. And he goes, well, it's fine on my side. Mm. And that's the point.
Sure.
You know, you can't blame software when hardware fails or connectivity fails. And this is the challenge that South Africa needs to, like, or Africa, I think, has to still solve.
The beautiful thing about tech and big data interpretation done right is that when it works, it's seamless. Sure. So everybody's sort of just like, wow, that's amazing. I've got all the information at my fingertips. I'm just going to update, push a refresh button, you know, command R, and I've got everything I need. Nobody thinks about the people in the background.
Sure.
And quite often, I mean, I do sound engineering as well. And if you're at a live gig and all of a sudden something goes wrong with the speaker system or with the backtrack or whatever goes wrong, everybody in the crowd turns and looks at you. It's the same sort of thing with tech, where you only really get noticed when it's not working. And quite often, it's not because of something we've done. It's because of a bigger ecosystem that we're part of. But I think, can I ask you more about how have you gone through a journey trying to make this seamless integration into business? How do you guys approach them to say, this is how it works, actually? And I know we're backtracking a bit, but the seamless integration for me is a big thing. We've got a word called frictionless at Big Brave. And it's got to be frictionless for the client. They've got to, it's got to be assimilated into their business, and it's got to be something that makes sense to them, not just smoke and mirrors, tangible, 30 seconds after you've done your talk, I push it in, and they start seeing results.
Look, I won't lie. One firstly has to, I mean, the approach that we're taking is that we require about 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yes.
At a client site.
Yes.
Because when you come in, we want to say, what are your templates?
You need to understand them. Like?
Mm. Let's build in this onto your templates, as opposed to just dropping it there saying bye bye, let's see license fees. We sort of walk you through the fees.
Bye bye, let's
manage expectations. Yeah.
So and we're finding that almost always helps. And again, tapping back into the consulting experience has sort of given us that approach that says, look, firstly, like you said, as a project manager, when you manage a project, it is only when things don't work that people want to talk to you. Otherwise, people expect it to be working perfectly. People think all is in order.
Yes.
And for as long as it's in order, nobody sees, nobody knows your name even. Nobody bothers.
Exactly. Well, that's a key thing. Sorry, Brett, I'm just going to jump in. It's one of the great things about innovation is that it thrives on collaboration.
Sure.
And if you've got a great relationship with your clients and your clients start to work closely with you, that innovation process happens a lot more frequently and is easier to adopt it because they've been a part of it. Yes. So the understanding is there immediately. So well done on the way that you've approached it. I think it's really cool. There are so many guys out there that say, hey, I've got a great idea for a dashboard. It's like the last thing we need is just another dashboard.
Yeah.
What we need is well-interpreted data that actually helps businesses react or be more proactive. Yeah. So I think that's really cool.
Because the question we always get is, here's a beautiful tool. What do I do with it?
Yes.
How do I make sure that I leverage it? So
exactly.
100%.
Added advantage sort of always comes in handy.
So you won't believe me, but it was half an hour ago that I said, don't worry, we've got time. But that's how quickly it goes on radio. See, when you just get into it and start chewing the fat. So we do need to wrap it up. We're at the top of the hour.
Sure.
Brett, your thought of the day?
Yeah.
Don't be late.
We've kind of, this whole last little bit of chat has all been the thought of the day. I think
The fact that there
is big data and that companies need to understand that they don't need to be afraid of this data anymore. There are people out there that can actually help them from a consultant level and from an actual tangible level interpret that data. Take it into a place where you have better information in a better amount of time to make better decisions for your business when you need to make them.
Sure.
And it's amazing that we're meeting people like yourself and companies like Invoke that are doing great things. So well done to what you're doing. I think it's fantastic. It's nice to see that the playing field is so wide and that there is so much great help going out there to businesses at the moment. So fear not. Innovation is upon us.
I like it. So yes, thank you again. Where can people find you? What's the website, Ntejo?
Okay. We're available on www.invokesolutions with an S at the end, .co.za.
All right. That's pretty easy.
Alternatively, you can dial us. We're in Pretoria, 012-348-2626.
Done. All right, guys.
Awesome.
So that's it. Until next time, keep... Oh, sure. I nearly forgot
until Wednesday at 12 o'clock.
And I also nearly forgot to thank MTN. So yes, Futurology Show for the last time on this time slot brought to you by MTN Business. And then, guys, y'all remember next week from...
On Wednesday.
Wednesday's at 12. See, o'clock. We still got to figure it out. We're going to kind of bounce around this. So yeah, Wednesday's 12. We'll see you next week. Until then, keep your screens clean and your knobs shiny.
This is CliffCentral.com.